In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God attaches such wonderful promises to prayer when he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And again he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And again, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you." These great promises of God urge us to pray. It would be foolish to ignore them. God wants to hear you speak to him. Perhaps you have heard it said, "Pray to God and everything will be okay." Maybe, but maybe not. It all depends on what you mean by okay. Look at this woman. Her daughter is possessed by a demon and she goes to God for deliverance and he walks away. He ignores her. Doesn't pay any attention. So we cannot say that when we pray, Jesus will immediately answer. And neither can we say that prayer will always make us feel better. The woman prayed to God and nothing was okay, but things actually got worse. He walks away, so she prays even more. Then he insults her by calling her a dog. So prayer is not meant to be cathartic either. It doesn't always make us feel good. For how would you react if someone insulted you and called you a derogatory name? Christ appeared as this woman's adversary, and at times Christ appears against us. He looks like he's ignoring us as sickness lingers, pain intensifies, finances dwindle even further, hardship piles upon hardship. Life events drastically alter the course of our lives or of someone else, or we outlive our children. We pray to God for help, but there seemingly is no answer. He seems to be walking away, ignoring us, to leave us like this in our troubles. We prayed, but nothing is okay. In fact, things actually got worse. And when he finally does respond, he says, "But you are a poor, miserable sinner who deserves nothing good from me. Misery and pain should follow you all of your days, because even your righteous acts are nothing more than filthy rags." It doesn't always make us feel good when we pray. We still feel drained, emotionally empty, longing to be filled. So if you pray to make yourself feel better, you will very often be disappointed. All prayers must be in conformity with God's will. And you learn God's will only in his word. So the more you learn scripture, the more your prayers are in line with God's will. Prayer is simply repeating back to God the promises he made to you. So as a little child learns how to speak by listening to his parents talk, so also you learn how to pray by listening to your father speak to you. And he only speaks to you in his word. There you learn of a Savior. There you learn of deliverance from every hardship and every evil. There you learn of freedom, a true and lasting freedom. There you learn of unimaginable glory that is waiting for you in heaven. There you learn that God will never leave you or forsake you, but he will strengthen you and uphold you even on the darkest of days. So again, look at this woman. She prayed to God, to the Lord, the Son of David, because she knew who he was. She had heard him speak to her through that word, that the Son of David will come and crush the serpent's head and will graciously rule over all people forever. So she goes to God with the very words of Scripture, pleading for help and deliverance. She sees him walking away, but she believes that he must be the Savior. She sees a demon-possessed child, but she believes that this is the God who will crush Satan's head. So she kept on praying. He walked away, she followed, for he never sent her away. He said he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and she heard that he had come to rescue the lost. and to give help to the weak. He insulted her, and she heard that he will give her exactly what she needs. She lived by the word, not by what she experienced, and not by how she felt. And so her faith is great because the object of her faith is great, Jesus Christ. Live by that word of God, not by what you have experienced, and certainly not by how you feel. For what the world cannot understand and what we very often forget is God never promised to give us an easy life on this earth. This is what those who say pray and everything will be okay often mean. They're looking for God to fix their problem right now, to give them some kind of resolution or at least closure and understanding as to why they had to go through this or that hardship. So when God closes one door, he opens another, they say. Sometimes, but sometimes not. The disease may take our life, the pain may linger for many years, the accident may drastically change life as we know it, beyond recovery, and the emotional stress that we have gone through may never leave us. God looks like he is walking away, ignoring us, not answering a thing which we have asked. But faith believes the word. Faith lives by that word, not by experience and not by how we feel. He's silent because he's gracious. He walks away because he's gracious. He wants you to follow him and to cry out to him even more. His silence emboldens your prayers. He wants you to live by faith, not by sight. When you live by what you see, then you see the valley of the shadow of death. You see a God who is walking away, not paying attention, and who really doesn't know where he is going. But when you live by faith, you see that he is not walking away from you, but he is actually leading you through that valley of the shadow of death. And that his pierced hands and pierced feet have already secured an eternal dwelling place for you in his heavenly kingdom, that no pain, disease, hardship, or difficulty could ever take away, that no demon could ever take away. He's preparing us. He looks harsh because he is not giving us exactly what we want, but he has never promised to do what we want. He has promised to do what is always for our eternal good. And so he will always give us exactly what we need. And sometimes difficulty, hardship, suffering is exactly what we need. They rouse us out of our apathy. They draw our minds out of this world. And they open our lips to cry out to the only one who can help. And then he answers. He says, "But you are a sinner. You deserve nothing good from me." "Yes, Lord," you respond, "but you are the Savior of sinners. You have died to take away all of my sins. You have washed me. You have made me your own. You have forgiven me. You have communed me. You have told me to cast all of my burdens on you, and you will give me rest." So you cannot be angry at me. You cannot be against me. You cannot leave me or forsake me. And you certainly cannot ignore me, because you have died for me. Like the woman and like Jacob, God wants you to hold him to his word. He must love. He must be gracious. He must help. He must bless. He must be with you always. He must. Or else he is no longer true to his word. And when you hold God to his word, he is pleased. Do you see how the more that you learn God's word, the more your prayers are in line with his will? There is always an end. There is always an end. And that end is always in heaven. So God is never silent to you. He never ignores you, because he always speaks to you in his word. Maybe he will answer you in the way that you have asked, and in the time frame that you have asked, maybe. Or maybe he will teach you patience, trust, and perseverance through the difficulty. Either way, he's not ignoring you as he walks away, but he's leading you toward his heaven. He's urging you to pray and to cry out to him even more. He's leading you out of this world and into his heaven. So that is the door that Christ always opens to you. And that is what we mean when we say, everything will be okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.